Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. We're going to be in 1 Samuel. We're just starting into it, so we're going to be in chapter 1. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to bring to us, Father, a greater understanding of this your word and to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive. So that, Father, things that we learn we can obtain, bring into our lives and bring them to life. So others can see, Father, and use us as one that will walk with you, keeping your word, your commandments, your statutes. Now, Father, be with us through this study, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, this first verse of 1 Samuel is something else. It's full of names, and it's the old names. Most of these names we've never heard, because you don't hear them talk in the church. Now, I can come close, but I can't. I probably won't get them exact as they are. Verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathea, Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jerohan, the son of Elihu, the son of Tophiu, the son of Zelpha, and Ephraite. And that is spelled E-P-H-R-A-T-H-I-T-E. All right, now, verse 2. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. 3. And this man went up out of the city early, or city yearly, to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and I've got no idea how to pronounce that one. The priests of the Lord were there. 4. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hananiah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversaries also provoked her soul, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb, because she had no children. And they was actually making fun of her, what they were doing. It was really bothering her. And as he did, so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. So she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. It's really hurting her. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by a post of the people of the Lord. 10. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, thou wilt indeed look on the affection of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, that I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now here she is now making this vow unto the Lord God, in order to let him know that if he'll give her this man child, she's going to dedicate him back to the Lord God. And she's not going to cut his hair. Should there be no razor on his head? Now, 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Yeah, she thought she had drunk. Throw everything else at her, all her, hurt her, make her cry and all this. Now, because she's praying silently, her lips are moving, but not hearing no voice, now they think she's drunk. Then I said unto her, how long though thou be drunken, put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. 16. And you know, that's something that a lot of us today need to do. We are not really going to prayer and pouring out our soul to Him. We're only going and asking for things. And a lot of things that we really don't even need. But we are not really bearing our spirit and our soul to Him for the things that we really do need that we're not asking for. Now, 16. Count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. 17. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Now he's agreeing with her in prayer, in their way. And he is asking to, in his way, for the Lord to grant her petition. 18. And she said, Let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now her countenance is not sad now, since she's eaten and all had this talk. 19. They rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. The Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. Now, she's got her son, and she's named him Samuel. And if we remember, she made a vow when she asked God for him, and told him that a razor would never touch his head. Now, 21. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. And Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. She's waiting for him to be weaned, and then she'll take him. So she is going to take him and give him unto the Lord. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah I don't know what the flower. I have no idea what that measure is. And a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Now, I had to turn the page. Okay. 25. Then they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here and prayed unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Now, we've come to the end now of chapter 1. We're going to go into chapter 2 here. We may not finish it all. We may get through it all. It's 36 verses long, so it's a pretty good chapter. All right. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in my salvation. She's really rejoicing now because the Lord God granted her petition, gave her the son that she asked for, and she'll find out later on in life that really he gave her a lot more really than she had asked for in giving her Samuel. Now, verse 2, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. You know, if we would today would heed a lot of these things that we're reading here and understand that there is nothing, nothing in this world to equal our Lord Jesus Christ, our rock and our comforter. And if we would just continue in and with his word, living them, going to him, and speaking our spirit and soul to him. Everything. Sharing everything with him. Now, he knows everything, but he wants you and I to speak and tell him. He loves us. And we are to love him. Now, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Your actions are weighed. How? By the Lord. Now, when they're weighed, are you going to come up short? The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. 5. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry see so that the barren has borne seven, and she that has many children is waxed feeble. Now we find, according to the word here, she has had seven. And the other one that has had many is now feeble. It was picking on Hannah. Six. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. And in our day, we say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. No, this was the way they spoke, but it meant the same thing. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lift up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. And he has set the world upon them. You know, the Lord, a lot of the weakest ones, and a lot of the worst ones, and raises them up. And makes some great thing out of them. Beyond those that has went and put all of their store in education and things that way. I'm so smart. I don't need nothing or nobody. I'm so smart I can just do everything on my own if I set my mind to do it. Well, got news for you. You won't work that way. God can take those that are weak, that are uneducated, and make use of them. All they need to do is to follow him, giving their lives completely and totally to him. And he can use them in mighty and great ways. Seven. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and he lifteth up. And we heard that just a little bit ago, didn't we? Eight. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillar of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. We've been through all of that, haven't we? But I'm going reading back through it because I want you to really understand that a lot he is saying here, you and I need. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be solid in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Those that are anointed. 11, and Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house. And the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. You see, his sons were those of an idol, a false god. 13. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. Now, what's he doing with that? 14. And he stuck it into the pan or kettle or chaldron or pot, all that the flesh had brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came to them. That's what he done that book. That's where he got his meal. Now, 15. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but roll. Excuse that phone ringing. 16. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desire, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Uh-oh. You'll take it by force. Now, here in 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now, you see, he's not even with his mother and dad. She made the vow that she would give him to the Lord, and that's exactly what she has done. And he's being raised there with the priests. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hananiah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now Eli was very old and hard all that his sons did, and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the woman that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. You see, his sons were not men of God. They had their false God. Now they're laying with a woman that assembled at the door of their tabernacle of the congregation. 23. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil deeds by all this people. He's asking this of his own sons. He knows that you're not right. Now, 24. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. In other words, they're trying to lead the Lord's people away and into their way of belief. 25. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Now 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Now he's liked and favored by the Lord and also mankind. 27. There came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? You see, he's laying this all out for him, what had been done. 29. Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people? He's really letting him have it here, because they had moved away from God. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thy arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thy house. 32. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. Oh, think about that. Not going to let them grow old. They're going to be cut off. Now, 33. And the man of thine whom I shall cut off from my altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thy heart, and all the increase of thy house shall die in the flower of their age. In other words, they're going to be dying young. Now, 34. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons on Hophaniah, Pathinus. In one day they shall die, both of them. One day. They both going to die the same day. 35. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And our pastors need to take a lot of these things in mind today, because they can be cut off today just as easy as they was in that day and time, and leave this life young, because they are not actually doing things according to the word of Almighty God, and they are teaching things that are contrary to God's word. And we see what's happening here with these for doing just exactly that. Now, 36, and this is the last verse of chapter 2. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in thy house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. In other words, they're going to be hungry. And they'll beg, just to put them in the priest's office so they can eat a piece of their bread. That's being hungry. And we're going to see a lot of famine. We're already seeing a lot of it in a lot of places. But we're going to see it right here in this land of ours if we don't, and we don't get those out of our government that is bringing all this evil upon this nation and its people, and replace them with ones that are walking and following the Lord Jesus Christ, that love him, love the word, and love this country, and will work those that belong to the Lord God to put this land and our government back upon the foundation in which it was established and founded, and that being on his word and the Lord Jesus Christ, and put Jesus back into every place he's been taken out of. And especially among our children. That was the first place they took him out of. You see, it's always worked that way. Every nation that goes against another nation if they can get the children first, that's what they're after. And look what they're doing right now. Thank God for the place there in Florida that has said no. They will not go along or allow them to give hormones and things to block the sexuality of the children or to change their sex. And you know, our president made the statement that because they done that, that was sin. Doing exactly what our Bible says not to do. Calling evil good and good evil. And that's exactly what the President of the United States done. He said it was sin to stop that. No. But that's the mindset we've got right now in a lot of the leadership of our government. And these things would not be happening. And it all needs to be replaced. Think about it. We have come to the end now of chapter 2. And we're going to stop there for this morning. I'm glad to see all of you in here with me. And to know that there are some out there that does love the Word of God. I may not be, and I know I'm not, really, the best teacher. But I love what I'm doing. And I love sharing with others. And I love following the guidance that Jesus has given me to do. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we do thank you for this word. Father, I love this word, and you know that. You know, Father, that I don't want to teach nothing. Not one word that is wrong. That's why, Father, I know that I need the Holy Spirit with me at all times when I'm teaching. But I need Him with me all through the day, Father, speaking to me, guiding my steps, guiding my thoughts as I go through my day, letting me know what is right and what is wrong, keeping my pathway straight. Because, Father, I know that on my own I can't do it. But with Him and the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing that I cannot accomplish that you would ask of me to do. Not my will be done, Father, but your will. Father, we pray for the saints wherever they are. Keep them safe. Keep them involved. And see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours, land that had no excuse whatsoever to do what it has done. Our government, no excuse whatsoever to do and to bring the evil they have brought upon our people. And that mankind sit back and let it be done. Now, Father, help us all to come together to stop this and to replace the evil with those that are walking in righteousness, that love you and love the Lord Jesus Christ, love the church, and love your people in this country. And that will work with us to put this land back on the foundation that it was on and founded on. Your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for Penny, Dennis, Amy, James, Bobby, Millie, myself, my wife, all of our family. I pray that the Holy Spirit will work within all of our families, helping to those that are in darkness, letting them know that they stand in need of something more than themselves, that they need the Lord Jesus Christ to make heaven their home and to miss hell in that lake of fire. Now, Father, as we separate to this day, keep us in health, keep us safe, and Father, bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and back into your word. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great day. Walk with God, and He'll walk with you. Talk to someone today about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be blessed. See if we can't get some more. Join in with us, sharing His word, and helping to bring fruit to Him and to build His church. Now, Father, be with us. Be with us all. And once again, in Jesus' name. Now, all right. Have a great one. Bye-bye.